You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm joined once again by Sunil Sharma, all the way from the United Kingdom. So good morning, Sunil.
Good morning, Simon. How are you?
I'm well, although in saying good morning, of course, from our side, it's good evening where you are. So yes, well, good evening in as well.
Yeah, it's a bit later on our side than yours. I think we're just talking off air how, although our weather doesn't seem to be playing by any sort of time references, it's raining every few minutes, so it's boiling hot after a few minutes after that. So it's a bit of a chaotic summer for us here in the UK.
We sort of know it here, particularly in Auckland. We often refer to the weather as being four seasons in one day. Literally, it can be hot, then it's muggy, then it's raining, then it's hot again. It's just very confusing. So it sounds like you've got Auckland weather, or maybe we've got London weather. Hey, so now it's been obviously, well, an enormous amount of news at the moment, obviously what's happening in the US, but we should start with the United Kingdom, seeing that's where you are. What's been happening for the new Labour government since winning the Treasury benches? What's their priorities? What have they been doing that's getting particular attention?
Well, so I think, you know, what's really interesting is when the election happened, the timing of the election, and, you know, a lot of people were surprised it was done in early July, considering Rishi wasn't polling great. The Conservative Party was, by all means, looking like they're going to be in trouble. And what's become even clearer and more strange for the Conservative Party is that it really was really bad timing, because what Keir Starmer has been doing for the last few weeks has been holding meetings with other world leaders across the globe. So we had he had the meeting with NATO. He hosted members of the G7 in Blenheim House here in Oxford, England, and this has only really just helped boost his popularity, because I think it's always shown, especially in the UK, when you see your leader meet other leaders across the globe, people seem to react really well from it. I remember Boris, for example, when he was struggling a bit under his premiership in the UK, he visited India and America, and automatically his polling went up, just, you know, demonstrating a strong man who was speaking to other strong leaders. So it kind of really helped, and it's definitely helping Keir Starmer being able to, be able to rub shoulders with President Biden, rub shoulders with leaders of the EU, Italian Prime Minister, French Prime Minister. So it's really working well for him in terms of policy and stuff. There's not been a lot that's been announced. I mean, the big one that's starting to catch a bit of wind here is his releasing of prisoners. So it's very well known in the UK, our prisons are overcrowded, oversubscribed, and they're pretty much at a breaking point. His solution has been to release prisoners early. And I think it's around 40,000 prisoners have been released or been planning to released. And so this is the big, if you like, the talking point at the moment, whether that was the right thing to do and what are the consequences of him doing that. So, fairly eventful few weeks here in the UK. And the Conservative Party have also now announced that they're going to be picking their new leader come November time. So I think up until then, I think Keir Starmer and the Labour Party have a fairly easier ride to do a lot of these policies, because there isn't really a proper opposition that's being formed right now, as Rishi Sunak essentially is the interim opposition leader.
Yeah, well, I can imagine someone like Rishi Sunak, certainly the Conservatives, you're not going to throw your energy in from their party's side until there's that stability. But jumping to Labour, well, back them, I have to say, didn't get too much coverage down here at the big meeting at Blenheim Palace, though I saw some of the images and, you know, I suppose backing up what you're saying, it does look good. There's Sir Keir at the front door of the palace greeting leader after leader and looking very calm and confident. We've had our own Prime Minister doing a little bit of travelling too, but funnily for us, it's not having the same impact. I don't know if that's because New Zealanders are much more focused on their domestic issues at the moment, which, by the way, Sunil, is unusual. Your example with Boris or Sir Keir, usually there's bumps on the poles when politicians travel overseas to meet leaders, but we haven't had that here, but certainly sounds it is for Labour.
Right.
But releasing all these prisoners, I mean, granted, I've got a political bias, but surely, well, that must be popular with the Labour constituency. Would that be a fair question?
I think most people are probably probably not happy with the releasing of prisoners, but they understand it. It's been a widely known issue for Britain that we have overcrowded prisons. It's been pretty clear for a while during the Conservative reign and now the short Labour reign. So it's something that everyone knew something would have to happen fairly urgently. I think a lot of people now are worried that the implications of what that will mean. I think it's fairly popular amongst the more Labour leaning voters. I think the big issue is if one of these offenders repeats and does a sort of violent crime. We had some really bad scenes in the UK in Leeds a couple of days ago where police were essentially running away from gang violence. There's riots going on in Leeds. Started with we're getting more of the details, but no one fully really knows. Yeah, it's not been covered massively, but we know it was people from migrant backgrounds, almost I think inter-migrant fighting, and police essentially were scared from the scene because they were outnumbered. So I think it will be interesting to see how this pans out. As of right now, I think the mood is something had to be done because of how overcrowded our prisons are. I think time will tell of the risk of this. I think people understand the decision to release prisoners because of the infrastructure of our prisons, but maybe that might change very soon if we see some of these offenders repeat offending and if there is, like I say, a real violent crime of some sort.
Yeah, we had somewhat similar in New Zealand in so far as a previous government wanted to reduce the prison population, and in doing so, just about every crime became associated with the fact that prisoners were being let out. And there was quite a lot of truth to that, but not always. Yeah. So says me, it's high risk. I'm pleased you mentioned Leeds because that's come across my desk. I've certainly seen some of the footage of these massive riots, as you say, police running away. Certainly down here, there's been no reporting in mainstream media. And from what I can see, there seems to be hesitation taking in the demographics of Leeds and the fact that this is a lot of migrants. I mean, is there a lot of discussion about this in the UK at the moment? Because it was pretty bad.
No, I mean, it's gone on for a few days. I mean, I think it's got a bit more peaceful now, but, you know, there was several cars being smashed, people in fights, police cars being smashed, buses being set alight, and bizarrely it's not really been that reported on mainstream media, so it's a bit concerning. Dare I say, if it was a maybe slightly different group of people, let's just say what the your BBC mainstream media style of, if it was British far right English football fans doing this in central London, I think this would receive a lot more coverage than the current coverage that's being received. Yeah, you have to remember in Britain, again, something that wasn't really widely covered, but our police has come into some real scrutiny over the last couple of years. An example is in a small place up north. Well, it's multiple places, but this is just one example in Rotherham, where children were essentially being sexually assaulted, and the police refused to investigate this because of the racial group involved. They released a statement and in their reports, and they were worried about racial tensions, so that was one of the reasons that they didn't want to investigate it. It turns out this was an epidemic across the country, and thousands of young, largely female children were being sexually assaulted by people from a certain migrant background. So they've come under a lot of scrutiny in my opinion, rightly so, for being too cautious when it comes to certain groups in terms of tackling crimes. And this leads is could be another example. Again, that this really they're just not sharing as much detail as you'd expect, considering the severity of what's going on. So it's hard to really understand why it's not getting the coverage it should get.
Yeah, well, that's been my impression too. Again, I'm looking from a distance, but I suppose we often reflect down here, and I certainly do, of two sides of the political or media spectrum. Certain groups will be reported on all the time. For other groups, if it doesn't fit the particularly progressive narrative, if I might put it that way, then it's not discussed. Hey, jumping back though to conservatives, what happens now? Obviously, they lost, we know that, but there is a new leader coming. Rishi Sunak said he's standing down. So what does that look like for the conservatives? When do they start choosing the new leader?
Well, so it's been really quite sketchy at the moment. We know by November, the Conservative Party will have a new leader. So we know that for a fact. That's been officially stated. However, who that person is and what the structure of deciding that person is yet to be announced. So, you know, the Liz Truss, Rishi Sunak fight off, which happened in last year, that was a good example of the difficulties of selecting a leader for the Conservative Party. Members had a really specific choice in terms of who they preferred, a few candidates who they particularly preferred. And in the end, only really one of them made it to the final two. So in short, the MPs will vote. There's a round of voting. Each round, people get knocked off, whoever has the lowest votes, until we're at the final two. The final two people that the MPs have voted on then goes to the members. So all the members, people like myself and lots of other people, will get the opportunity to then vote for who they want of one of the two choices. So last time it was Liz and Rishi Sunak. Liz won the membership vote. However, it became very clear that the members of parliament who were more supportive of Rishi Sunak were not prepared to essentially work with Liz Truss. And then she was forced to resign and Rishi Sunak took over. So that was a very different, unprecedented sort of circumstance. The way Boris was selected is a lot more of a simplistic structure where, again, same process, went down to Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson. Members voted for Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson won and Boris Johnson stayed as prime minister until a few years after. So that was the more stable, if you like, structure. After what happened last year and in our two last leaders, and Liz and Rishi, there is a general feeling that the Conservative Party will now maybe change the way they operate in terms of how the vote system is done. There's rumours circulating that they may give the members four choices as opposed to two, but it's anyone's guess at the moment. We do know, though, that the Conservative Party will have a new leader in November.
And do you think then that Rishi will then step away from Parliament? I mean, it's speculating, but is there any indication that he'll call it quits politically, not out of spite or anger or anything necessarily, but once you've been the Prime Minister and the leader, going backwards, if you will, is not always easy. Yeah, is there any sense of that happening, a by-election, or is he probably just going to sit and be for the next 5 years?
The presumption would be that he would leave. You know, I think that's the usual sort of the structure in which it would expect. Like you said, you know, you've made it to the top, and you know, how do you sort of carry on? In Britain, recently, it's been a bit different. So when Boris lost his when he was essentially had the no vote of confidence, lost his leadership, he stayed on for a little while. He then did in the end resign, but he did stay for a while, longer than people expected. Theresa May, former Prime Minister, she stayed on for another almost 5 years, even despite being Prime Minister. Liz stayed on until she lost her seat a few weeks ago. So it's pretty much anyone's guess to see what he would do. It's definitely changed. I think the dynamic, usually you'd expect the leader to just kind of disappear into different ventures. I think the feeling is amongst the party and amongst people, I think around him, is that he would sooner or later give up his seat. I mean, he's successful in his own right in his career before politics and in finance. He has his family, his father-in-law owns one of the richest and biggest companies in the world. He has a green card that allows him to live in America. So he's not short of options of what to do in terms of post-politics. So I think the general feeling is, I think after the leader's done, give it maybe a few weeks or so, and you probably expect Rishi Sunak not to be a member of parliament going forward.
The other big news happening down here in New Zealand, a couple of big stories, other than, of course, Biden resigning, we'd love to get your take on that, is all our computer systems went down about a week ago with, is it CrowdStrike? So lots and lots of discussion here on two levels. One, of course, our computer systems went down, everything from supermarkets to buying petrol. But we're also exploring the whole digital currency side of things here. Did you guys get affected? I assume you did. In the UK, has that been a big point of discussion around the whole CrowdStrike failure?
It's not been as much of a discussion as I think we'd expect. It really affected flights for us, and I think people are suffering from it even today. I think digital currencies are a really interesting one for us. It's something that we've surprisingly not really heard much from the Labour Party. It's something that actually, funny enough, Rishi Sunak had talked about his support in the idea of a digital currency. I mean, he discussed in the past about almost a very similar to a China system where they give out money. The way they give out money on the benefit structure is via the digital currency. So he seemed to be thinking it could play a big role within the UK. But we also have a lot of campaigns in the UK, stuff like Cash is King, and you can't replace cash, and there's lots of these sort of campaigns going on. So at the same time, I don't think we're anywhere near that sort of stage on discussions on digital currency. I think the other thing in the UK is generally we are, as much as we are a forward-thinking economy, there is always a lot of maybe not bureaucracy is the right word, but caution. Typically can be quite cautious. So digital currency wise, I think we're quite far away from anything happening there.
No, it sort of put it back on the radar for New Zealand. It's something that's been bubbling away somewhat quietly across the country. And then this happening, people are like, oh my God, they weren't, as I say, able to do their flights like you guys, fill up their cars, groceries. So it certainly raised the topic again. But probably the last question is obviously the Biden stepping down. Well, I'll put it to you in two ways, Sunil. One, were you picking that he would? And two, what impact, if any, is this having in the UK at the moment?
Well, I think for me, I think there's been signs of Biden's health not being strong when he ran to be president 4 years ago. I think there was plenty of scientists, plenty of doctors, plenty of medical professions all saying, for a very long time that he's shown early signs of dementia and Alzheimer's. And a lot of it was sort of dismissed as conspiracy theories and all this sort of stuff. And I think that election, the one in which he won, he was very, very fortunate in that I think the Republicans quite smartly almost hid him away. He didn't do that many debates. They almost allowed the riots going on in America with Black Lives Matter, the everything that was going on with COVID vaccines, the country just being in a bit of almost chaos. I think they almost allowed the Republican Party and parts of America to almost destroy themselves, and Biden almost stay out of the limelight. He did he did very poor in the few debates he did do in that election. And I think he was very lucky in some ways to really avoid a lot of media scrutiny during that period. And I think he's been very lucky in the first 2-3 years of this presidency, where he has avoided a lot of media scrutiny, where the questions are nowhere near as severe as it would have been for President Trump or even Obama or anyone, any of his predecessors. So I'm not remotely surprised that he's resigning. I thought it'd happen a lot sooner. I'm really surprised. I read somewhere it's about 50 days now before the primaries open and people can start voting. So I think it's left the Democrats in a really precarious position in terms of, if you're the, I know everyone's saying it's going to be Kamala Harris, I think it almost has to be, because how else, you know, the new person has such a short space of time to make his or her difference and be heard and make their policies clear. And I think it's, yeah, I think it's interesting it's taken so long. I think the scrutiny of these debates, the scrutiny of now, where when you're actually the president, you have to do these conferences, you have to be able to be amongst other world leaders. And I think he's really been exposed even more so in the last 6 months. And part of me, as much as I've wanted him to resign for a while and him not to be the president, there is a bit of sympathy and almost feeling sorry for him, because to me, it just seems as if he's not the person cognitively in control of himself. It just seems there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, which I think you and me will maybe never know the actual reality of what's happened here. And so it's
worrying. I'm with you. I actually find it immensely sad. You know, take the politics out. I don't agree with much of his politics, but I think it's sad. I also, for what it's worth, I think it's quite cruel, actually. You know, those closest to him, perhaps including his wife, should have been trying to look after him rather than constantly pushing him forward. For what it's worth, I didn't think, actually, he would go. I mean, like you, I could see all the issues, but I thought he'd hold on just simply because of the chaos that's about to be wrought. There's even some talk he might still be on some of the ballots because it's so close to the election. So look, fascinating times. Is it capturing the attention of the UK people? I mean, it's headline news here in New Zealand day after day.
Yeah, it's definitely hitting news a lot more. I mean, the part that hasn't hit the news yet was Sir Keir Starmer was with him last week, and he was asked directly by journalists here about how is Joe Biden feeling, like what's he like, and he said he's completely fine, physically fine, and in great form. But it is definitely capturing the UK news, and you know the Democrats under Biden have been, you know, fairly, they've used fairly anti-British sentiment. You know, they've been more, the feeling has been a bit more pro-European Union as opposed to Britain. So it's definitely something that Britain will be watching immensely. The election coverage gets widely covered here across all the mainstream media outlets. I don't think too many people in Britain are surprised. We've seen a lot of the last few weeks of the Biden gaffes, and the big change has been is maybe 6 months ago or a year ago, you would see this once in a while from a BBC or very rarely. Whereas now, in the build up to his resignation, we've been seeing it pretty much on a regular basis. The mistakes he's making, they've been broadcasted regularly, and there has been the general worry of what America. What is going on in America? Should he? I mean, I saw today, this morning, there was talks of should he resign right now? Because you know, if he's not mentally fit, then should he be, you know, managing the most powerful country in the world in this next over these next 50 or so days? So yeah, it's very much all over British media at the moment.
Yeah, it remains here. Look, if it's any consolation to Sir Keir and the British people, New Zealand's Prime Minister said the same when he briefly met Biden, that he was in good form, he was mentally sharp and so forth. So I think a number of world leaders will be eating their hats, so to speak. Sunil, thank you. Thank you for making so much time once again to talk with us, not just about what's happening in the UK, of course, but also impressions in the US. And again, thanks so much for being on the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Simon. Speak to you soon.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.